Well, I'm supposed to tell you how we got here. Well, you know what? All I had to do is follow the music of the clarinet and the violin, and I know I would get here. That's what my father played, both instruments. But it's actually Tanya's fault why we're here. Sorry about that. But she went to a college which she didn't like. But she said, that's why the Lord sent me there. He said, there was a bulletin board. He says, Christian Camp wants a counselor and a lifeguard. And she said, that me. So she went to lifeguard school and went to Chop Point. And when you go to Chop Point, something is chopped off you, you're gone. Because it'll change your life. And it did. And it did. So she comes home after 3 months. He says to her sister, she said, Simone, you owe it to yourself and to your children, which you're going to have. She was already married to that handsome man there who read the scripture. She said, to find out that there is much more to America than L.A., California. And so she obeyed. She talked to her husband. He said, sure, we'll get a job there in a month. In a year, if we don't like it, we'll come back. Well, that was too late. And Inge and I, we came to visit. And the first time we went here, it was 1998. And we came to this church, and the pastor was there with his family, and they played things and hymns, and some of them were German songs. And I was touched. But what really touched me is that Simone and Tanya, at that time they were jogging. As you all know, Simone is a great athlete. She still has it in her veins, in her blood, to do that. And so she said to Sir Tanya, let's jog. And so they jogged up Riverside, the railroad, all the way to that huge barn and the house on the right, which has this red barn, I think it was a huge thing. And then they walked down to the river, and they get the idea of, let's swim back. So they take off their clothes, put it on a branch, and 2 or 3 hours later, I go to the shore, and, you know, something is happening. Two mermaids, maybe. They kept on swimming, and pretty soon they walk on shore. But they say, we had so much fun. There was a harbor seal. There were birds flying over us. And fish were jumping up. Well, listen. All of nature was rejoicing. They were rejoicing for Inge and me. Because a year later, we were here. We were here. See, it's the river, it's calling you. The river is calling you. When I saw that picture, the first picture, and they were seeing Michael row the boat at the shore, Greg was smiling at me, looking at me, because he said to me, hey, listen, come, I'll take you on my boat, and we'll drive on the river. That's why he was smiling. But the river, it's the river, it's the river. It's just, you cannot imagine what is happening here. Many people were present at the river. Some of you were baptized at the river. Someone got married at the river. And when you do, you know, the river is calling you. The river is calling you. As a matter of fact, it was so important that when Simone and Glenn came here, they were actually going to go to Camden, because Simone loved that place. you know. And Glenn put out a fleece. And then, not only that, but his sister gets a dream, and she calls him. She says, "Don't cross the river." You know, that goes from Wiscasset over into, she said, "Don't cross that river." And then she said, "What I saw is a dove that was flying against the wind, she said to Glenn, and couldn't get anywhere. It wouldn't pass. So before they go to Camden, there is Sarah's restaurant. You all know that, don't you? Well, they go up there and eat breakfast. And after a while, Simone looks up, and there's the bird. not getting anywhere. And Simone says, "Hey, do you see what I see?" Our God will have supernatural things happen, like speaking to the bird, so that you get the message. You have the message. And you got the message. I want to tell you about a river. Where I lived, in Silesia, which is Poland now, there's a little river, right? Four foot wide little river. We call it Ksikopa. The first time I jumped over the rivers after my goat jumped first, and he looked at me and said, "Come on, jump over." And that was my freedom, you know, away from the fence of your house. Probably was four years old. But you know this little river? When the rain came, it was tricky. My cousin, Boaz Chodana, almost drowned in it. My sister almost drowned in it after the snow melted, the ice melted, and she was out there skiing, sledding. What do you call it? Yeah, she almost died. And I almost died at the little pond that this river puts water into. And this pond is for the firemen. They didn't have any, you know, running electricity and water and pressures like that. No, they had buckets like that. And so when the bombs came on, you needed to extinguish the fire. That's where. And I almost drowned in that. That's how wicked the river was. And not far from there, was the village of Gostin. And that village. By the way, I took those pictures 25 years later when I went visit that area. That village, the river went through there too. And whenever I got there, I got a beating there from the kids. I was Protestant, I was German, and there were Catholics, and there were Polish, and so I was always getting a beating. But this time I got something more because I was hungry. My father was no longer with us, and he is the breadwinner. He was the breadwinner, like you are, man. You are the breadwinner. He was the bread. He wasn't there anymore. My father was in Siberia where he died. And no bread. And when I asked my mother for bread, she said, go to Kostin. They are rich farmers there. Maybe they'll give it to you. Some of you have heard the story, but some of you haven't. That's why I'm repeating it. Well, anyway, I went there with my cousin Horst, and I knocked at the door. Nobody opened it. Finally, we left, and as soon as we were out on this road at this end, the house is exactly the same like it was 1945, okay, except the trees are probably a little bigger, but there were, you know, the weeds, fields and everything. And we were just here when suddenly a bullet in front of me. And I felt the wind of it and the sishing sound. And then one behind me hit the ground real fast. And then I ran world record in 200 meters to the front. Now, one more thing about the river. That river where I live now is the most beautiful river I've ever seen in the world, and probably is. You know, our river that I just showed you was called Xikopa. That's a little brook. But did you know the Meadow Brook, which enters into the Winnegans Bay, is four times wider than the biggest river in Germany, the Rhine? Why they call it brook, I still don't know. But yes, and God put me and Inge and my family right there. Right there. Those of you who have seen my house, okay, I even built a lighthouse there. And there is a river there. There is the bay. And that's where God put me. And you know what? In this place that I showed you before, it was a poisonous river. It was a curse on it. I mean, you know, the coal mines put everything in there. It was full of lead and whatnot. And we almost, you know, almost drowned, whatnot. Horrible. There were no fish in it. And when I went by, 25 years later, there was a little pond there, probably 18 inches deep. And all the villagers, the men, they were fishing. There was a little minnow in there probably, and nothing else. And when I came home, and I went to our river, wow. And that is full of creeping things. Wonderful fish. Some of it shellfish, but you know how much a lobster costs in Germany? Well, people from our church came by when we moved indoor, and they put 5 lobsters into the refrigerator. This thing is full of lobsters. This is the most expensive, most beautiful fish, and that's what God would take after I got from the river of death into the river of life. Thank you, Mother. I thank my mother that she had the guts at that time to not stay behind like some did who were afraid, to leave everything behind, everything, and go forth into the land of milk and honey. And that's what she did. But there's another thing, actually, sorry, Tanya, that I have to talk so much about you today, but this is what happened. Okay, it was Easter. And we got an Easter card from Tanya. And you know what it was? Let me explain to you. Okay. It looked across on a hill. There was a sun. This was green. On the right side of the cross was a bear and a honey and a big jar written on it, honey. On the right, on this side of the cross, was a bird. Feet wide open. And then she wrote over it, "He's not here. He's risen." 6 years old. She had a message for us. You know what? When I was 6 years old, I also was inspired by the cross. But not by this one. In the German language, we call the cross das Kreuz. I was touched to the point of willing to give my life for the cause of the Hakenkreuz, which is the swastika. That's how much I had to learn. Although my father was, and my mother, they were Christian, took me to church, and I stand next to my father, and that song they probably sang, it's from Count Nikolaus. The other one, Count Nikolaus Zinzendorf. He, the founder of the Moravians, who was part of the church where we were. This was the movement that we had in our church. They were persecuted, but they were strong. Just like Count Zinzendorf was, by the way, and the Moravians. Well, what I was trying to tell you is that I was standing next to my father, you know, like those kids, 6, 7 years old, like Isaac, my grandson, who's 9 now, you know. I wasn't as tall, as strong as he was, and he was tall. My father and I would, I would look and sing those songs with him. We're going to sing another one at the end of the service, right? It's called on the 200, on a 12, 200, no, 12. And the song is, Großer Gott, wir loben dich. Herr, wir preisen deine Stärke. And that's, of course, in English. But I sang that too with my father. Okay. But that's not how you come to faith. How I came to faith is 12 years later, when Billy Graham came to my town in West Germany, to where we are deported, and that's why I found the Lord. Okay. Now you know a little bit about my family, right? Okay. Now, you know, it says in the 19th verse of the second chapter that it says, but I trust in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly, and I also may be encouraged when I know your state. Okay. Then he says on 24th, but I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come to you and be sure, and be with you. Now listen. Why does he say I trust in the Lord? He didn't just say I trust in me, I trust in you. Listen, don't trust anyone. I don't even trust myself. Why should I? Because, you know, I'm going up like that, you know, and being tempted left and right. Love everyone, but trust nobody. Only him. Paul is smart, isn't he? He trusts only Jesus. But he can also trust him for one thing, that you are going to be influenced by him, and not by you, me, but by him. And that's quite a difference. You know, when Bob Langworthy talked about like-mindedness, the ABC, well, there wasn't just ABC, there were 15 points. And he could keep on going on. That's how much there is in being like-minded in Christ. Because it says, it's even in that scripture that he read, let the mind which is in Christ Jesus also be in you. Well, what do you mean mind? When you have Jesus, you have everything. You have mind, body, spirit. You have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have everything. Lock, stock, and barrel. It's Jesus. He holds the world together. It's him. When I was in Nicaragua at 3 o'clock in the morning, Michael Busby was the director. He said, "See, get up and watch the southern sky and see the Southern Cross." And then what? It's a moving experience. There's South America, there's North America, cross. When I shared with Rob, I said, yeah, I saw the Southern Cross. He said, did you know that the very smallest part of a cell is a cross? When you can take it down, you know, it's not all the cell, it's so minute, but you can take it down, and the rest, the final thing, you know what you see? It's a cross. My cross, yeah, was a Hakenkreuz. And I was willing to give my life for it. I would have betrayed my parents for it. I still am, you probably have heard the story many times, but I'll tell it to you again. Because you cannot on your own say, I'm not going to do it, not for me. You have no idea the power of the evil one. No idea. And you cannot say no. I still shudder when I think that why would I leave my gods behind? Why would I leave everything if they had told me when the Hitler Youth marched by and I was taken by their music? Oh my God, there is a millennium in front of me, and I want to be part of it. You know, and Hitler, we had songs about Hitler. Wow, I mean, he was our Messiah. He was our Redeemer. And I would have given my life and not say even goodbye to my parents to follow. And neither could any one of you resist once the time would come. See, actually, Paul didn't trust anyone. Don't trust yourself. But, listen, how would you do, would you feel, if you with Jesus for 3 years, okay, you leave your parents, you see miracles, feeding of the 5,000, feeding of the 4,000, people start walking, dads start raising. And you say, we will never leave you. No, we'll die with you. Yeah. You know what? The barrel comes to you. Okay. You know what Chairman Mao said? All power comes through the barrel of the gun. And Jesus says, all power in heaven and on earth comes through me. And that's the only way you'll make it. It's no other way. No other way. Talking about a little further, he said that Epaphroditus, who is a fellow soldier, he is, five things he mentioned about him. Okay. He is my brother. He is fellow worker. Your and my messenger. Minister to Paul, but also you and your need. He is also sending a message for you and your need. Did you know that that the Philippians were the favored group that Paul had? You know why? Because they put their mouth, their money where their mouth is. They helped them so that they would, that Paul would have something to eat, that he would have bread, that he could buy things that he needed for. He needed that, and they were right there. Have you read? Have you ever seen anything where our pastor was not grateful to you? He said 80% of my support comes from you. You don't think that says something? So he's commanding you, just like Paul is commanding. He is grateful for the Philippians. And whatever happens to him, he knows it'll happen to them. And it must happen to us. Because there is not just those three people, Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus. It's Jesus everywhere. And it's you. But be glad it is. Because he is your friend. And he goes to prepare a place for you. Yes, we got paradise to look forward to. I was touched when Glenn read that part about paradise. That's where we're going. I got to share a dream. I didn't ask my wife whether I could because she just had it this morning. But it's a dream that really, really touched me. And it will touch you also because he has been dead 20 years. 20 years. And we didn't even know whether he was a believer. Okay. But we had indications that he was. Okay. I had a dream that he was that long ago. That he, after he died, he took the kids from one part of the shore to the other over a big lake. Wow! And I said, "Can I be in the helm?" He said, "No, I will." But he had so much fun with the kids. When we were in where he lived, when he was still alive, Tanya was 7 years old. She could already swim, and she went on a jumping board. It must have been 3 meters, which is almost 4 yards. Okay. There she goes jumping. And he was laughing. He had so much fun with that. And today, Inge said, "Daddy, I had this dream that my brother, Horst," he said, "he looked so young and so handsome. And he was back last." And we went to California. And we went to Beverly Hills. And we saw all those beautiful mansions. I mean, some of them cost millions and millions of swimming pools. She said, even was greater than we have seen before. But my brother was not impressed. He was not impressed because where he came from, that is the mansion that impressed him. And that brought the comfort. This is where we're going. This is where we're going. I too had a dream on the 11th of this month. You know, that's when the tsunami hit. Okay? I was back in the army. Hey, Joe, I was back in the army. We got a lot of soldiers here. I was a sergeant in the army. Okay. Reveille is blown. You know, the trumpet. Now, of course, electric, but it's a trumpet. Okay, and so we have 15 minutes. When the reveille is blown, you have 15 minutes to be in formation in front of the barracks. And then a roll call comes. Okay. If you're not there, you know, you're absent without leave. So you got 15 minutes to get there. So I got there real fast, and I was standing there. Pretty soon, a friend of mine comes with, who have been quite estranged. Okay. He comes, and his wife comes, and then and they look young, strong. I was young, no problem with my heart. We were young and strong. And we had this joy. In other words, something is happening right now, my friends, when we will be called in. And we were glad because that's what we trained for. Okay? A soldier is trained for the war. He's not trained to be a chocolate soldier and be on parades and all that. No. He's fatigued. Get the rifle. It's war. And we were getting ready. But you know what? There was nobody in front of us. Okay? No company commander. No platoon leader. Nothing. You know what that means? It's just you have been prepared and God. And he's doing that to you. Isn't that beautiful? He is calling us for this beautiful battle that is being prepared. If you think, by the way, of what is happening right now is because of nature's thing, you know. We have a war right, we are right now in a war with three Arab countries. Okay? There was an earthquake. There was a tsunami, all the biggest. People are still digging for the dead, all gone. That's just, each time you listen to the news, is one notch down. It's worse. Okay, don't worry. Okay, you don't have to worry. You know why? Because he has overcome the world. He has overcome the world. And he's got a good message for us. Not the message that I got when the man from prison came back and told my mother, "Adolf is not coming back. Your father is not coming back," he said. He said, "I saw his name on the big toe before they took him to the morgue. But he came back. His friend came back and he said, your father made this beautiful horse. He found a piece of wood and some glass, and he had to hide it all the time. And then he hide it, sleep under it, and what? And he gave it to me because he knew that he wasn't going to come back. He had a forced blood transfusion. The first one was okay because he had high blood pressure, but he was scheduled for next one. And he said, I'm not going to survive that, and he didn't. And so he came and gave us this message. As hard as it was, I tell you, my mother, there she was alone, 5 children, no breadwinner. I just showed you her bread. No protection. It's still right in front of us. And finally, they kick us out after a year. leave everything behind. You've got two months to get out. Okay. But, good news. Okay, we were in the land of milk and honey. I showed you the picture. And we are here because God has his hand on it. And I want to tell you one thing. Something wonderful is going to happen because you came to the river. You came to the river. And there is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. And he stands in the midst of her. And she will not be moved. You in the river. So, we have to stop now and tell you something. What will happen now? Okay, we have a man with us who has this great gift. To when he speaks, he can speak to 5,000 people without an amplifier, and they will hear him. As a matter of fact, he could shout from here across to Swan Island on that shore of the river, and that person would hear him. I'm not exaggerating. My mother didn't have this resonant, strong voice, but when she called me when I was in the meadow, a mile away, she just waited that the wind would take it. And she shouts, Edward! And I hear something. I know this is called. Sure enough. Wo warst du? Ich habe dich gewartet. Ich habe dich gerufen. Where were you? I was waiting for you. So I heard. Okay. What are we going to do now? Because Chris Semple, to me, because he used to drive by here, and he said, Lord, fill this church again. Fill this church! Well, what do you think this is, Fred, Chris? Services now. He heard your prayer. Okay.
We want to pray for you because I think you have a great gift and the devil has not let them back in many ways, but he has not succeeded. Dave, we will pray for you. Okay. Will you help me with Dan? Dana, come on up. And I want you all to participate in it. Okay, this is no service. Don't just watch. Okay, pray for Chris. Because after the prayer, he's going to tell you something, and you may get something. You may get a vision. You may have something in Scripture. You may hear something, and you want to share it. You will have this opportunity. It's not forgotten right now. Okay, let's pray for you. What do you have to tell us?
It's absolutely true what he said. I drove by this church for years. I had absolutely no clue anything about this church. And nobody here. I've prayed over and over, Lord, bring revival. Bring people into this church. I don't know. I've learned the hard way to share what the Lord's going to tell me. I have faith that it is for someone here. First, the song we sang, Michael Webb, the Boat Ashore, is a much better song than came down to us. It was written by freed slaves on the Sea Islands, Georgia. Emancipation Proclamation set them free. Charles Picard Weir was sent down by the American government, musicologist from Harvard, to have charge of the slaves. He first wrote the notes down. His cousin, William Francis Allen, came and first heard that song sung as he was being rowed by the freed slaves across the Station Creek on St. Helena Island, just a few miles from where my parents wound up building their vacation home. He wrote it down. Lucy McKim Garrison, the daughter-in-law of Francis Lloyd Garrison, the abolitionist, gathered it together and published it in Slave Songs of the United States, the first collection. And it starts, and it says, Michael rowed the boat ashore. And the next line is, Michael boat is the gospel boat. And it said, gospel boat, Michael boat is a music boat. Angel Gabriel going to blow his horn. They're crossing the River Jordan. They're going through death. The only way through death to the far side. I see my mother on the other side. Mother going home in Jesus' name. Says that it's a little different. The River Jordan is wide and deep. Jesus on the other side. That's how it stands in the original. I'll tell you about another boat. Jesus talked about boats. He said, when you go fishing, how does it work with the weather? Tell me. Red sky at night? Red sky at morning? Exactly. Or he said, you boys will know all that. And then he said, Jesus is like the Buddha here. I'm sorry if that bothers anyone. I came in from Buddhism, one of the ways I came in. Buddha said, I'm awake. All I am is awake. I just notice what's going on. Jesus said, you notice what's going on with the weather, and it influences your fishing. Why do you not discern the signs of the times? So I'll tell you about a third boat. Personal close friend of a man I knew for years in Holland. She was walking. At the time you were a little boy, she was a girl. In her 20s, she was a secretary in The Hague, Holland. She went walking to work early one morning with a yellow star stitched. She walked on the beach, and she saw a man in a little rowboat down by the edge of the shore. And she said to him, Vapuja Gunnar, what are you doing over there in Dutch? And he said, I'm going to row to England. Do you want to come along? She said, Ben Agak, are you crazy? And he said, Ben Agak, are you crazy? What's that on your arm? Why are you walking on the beach, not in town? You know why you are. Are you going to get in the boat? And she got in the gospel boat. She's the only one of her family to survive. Just like your mom, she left everything. She had a summer dress in her purse. She had no proper ID. She had to get French lessons to survive in England, but she survived. The gospel boat comes, you've got to get into it. I'm sharing this because God asked me to share it. He gave me this stuff weeks ago, and I said, he said, I want you to share this. I said, good, you've got to open the door. I called and talked to the fellows who were scheduling people. They said, well, they didn't hear anything. And then they scheduled Ziggy, and Ziggy called me. I'll make this quick. You're familiar with this. It was in the beginning, is now, ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Right? You familiar with that? Okay. Here's how it goes. It was in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's a theological truth. Here is a scientific and mathematical proof, and I will gladly discuss it in detail with anybody. Okay? This is scientific. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the Bible, Jesus, God, religion, Christianity, or anything else. Life on this planet did not come about by random chance. I can prove it to you and will happily do so. The only alternative is in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Was in the beginning, is now. Is now is where you guys are. I said, gosh, why is this guy going on? I've got so much going on in my life. Boy, it doesn't even know. I've got stuff to think about. I know that. Here's what you do about that one. My parents did not teach me this. I went to church. I had Sunday school lessons, and I've got a medal for each year, and I went down my belt. Nobody ever mentioned what I'm about to tell you. But it's later on in the book that we're talking, in Philippians. Someone said this morning, I didn't hear much about Philippians. In there, chapter 4. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Terrific answer. This place is filled with people. That's an answer to one prayer. Want to hear some other answers to prayer? Ask someone around you. Come ask me. Was in the beginning, is now, ever shall be. God is going to complete the work that He began in this church, in this country, on this planet. This planet is not stable. Everyone who gets in the gospel boat is going across to a new heavens and a new earth. And if you're not on board, it's not good. You've got to do it. He's going to complete what He's doing. And this is where it comes in with Paul. Paul opens his letter to the Philippians. He says, oh, it seems so bad. Paul's in prison. Oh, man. And the people around him say, that's right. If he was a real Christian, he wouldn't be in prison. He says that. Check that. If he was a real Christian, he'd be out here preaching like us. But he's a bad Christian. So he said, this turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. All things work to good for those who love God, called according to His purpose. That's why when you believe He created the earth and you pray, you thank God in every circumstance and for everything. Why? Because it all, in the end, works out for good. Because God knows totally what He's doing, including here this morning. World Without End, Amen, Amen, comes back to what you'll also hear in Philippians in chapter 4, rejoice. Praise God. As John Thorpe said, and I love him for saying it, when God says it's going to happen, it's basically already done. When God says it's going to happen, you may just write it down for done. And it doesn't matter what your family thinks, doesn't matter what the newspapers say, doesn't matter what's on CNN. It truly does not matter. God says it's going to happen, it happens. Hallelujah. So we're here, we're together, praying for a new pastor to come in. Glory to God, he's going to bring one. And then he's going to move on, and he's going to do the thing that I lived on for a long time. I went to my pastor, and I'll close with this, as the preacher said. I went to my pastor when I was first saved. I said, gosh, I'm having a hard time living this Christian life, Pastor Dave. I was. And he looked at me and he smiled. He told me later, he said, oh, no. He said, I didn't have a clue what to say to you. I took one look at you and I thought, surely this man is going down the tubes. A lot of people thought that, for good reason. That's why he's praying for me today. He said, what? He said, surely this is one that receives the gospel with joy and then... He said, I was grasping at cross. What did the Lord give him? Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6. He who began the good work in you is able to bring it right forward to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. And he told that to me. I said, wait, don't we sing a little song? He who began a good work in you, and some of you know it. Yeah, he said, we sing. I said, you mean I couldn't start it? And I couldn't. I'd pick up a preaching book to make fun of it. That's how I got saved. What a seeker I was. Hello. I said, I couldn't get saved on my own, and I can't, like, do the... He said, that's right. Wow, Pastor Dave. I said, thank you so much. I went out, I breathed a sigh of relief. But it's true. Nobody, you think you're making a commitment. It says, on one side of the gate, whosoever will. You go through and look back, says, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. It's a mystery. You can do it today, it happens. You do it when you get home tonight, maybe if you make it home. But together, we reach out to the people who haven't heard. That's part of what we do. We encourage one another, just like Paul wrote to the little Philippians. He says, oh, Epaphroditus is such a great guy. He did what you guys should have done. But it's true. We're all in it together. Hallelujah. That which every joint supplies. And I thank Ziggy for praying for me. Because I've been embarrassed and ashamed about a lot of things for a long time. And God does a healing work. Every time I talk to the Lord about it, he says, I've chosen you, I'm going to cleanse you, I'm going to use you. Don't worry about that other stuff. And if I told you what stuff, I'm not going to tell you what stuff. All right, because we don't do that in church. Pardon me, people say, you kidding? No. God's able to do that stuff. Okay? If anyone has any questions, they think, boy, it couldn't be as bad as my stuff. Talk with me. We'll compare notes, okay? I'm serious. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, thank you for gathering together every single person who came into this place today. Complete the work that you have begun. Our time's in your hands. Have your way in all of us. Everyone doing the part that's theirs. And then the whole body grows up and blossoms and becomes mature and good in love. Thank you, Lord.
Now, if you heard the gospel, which is a good news for you, or if you have not, and honor you know better whether you have one. Make sure that do this before it's too late. Getting home, maybe sometimes it's too late. And Billy Graham spoke, he said, okay,